I'm going to try my best to keep on the timeline. A lot of what I'm going to talk about is really an example, more in the research spectrum, of what it is Dr. Elkin just showed you. The title of my talk and the results are all available on the website, and I'm happy to chat afterwards as well. We're going to talk about an example of improved biosurveillance using the full text of the clinical notes, and again, you heard some discussion of this before. And the results I'm going to show you are from an experiment that represents a collaboration among investigators at Vanderbilt, at the VA in Middle Tennessee, and Dr. Elkin's group at Mount Sinai. So this is just some background. Again, this is all in the abstract. But it's talking about, you know, that we're all interested in surveillance for disease. This is not just something in the public sector and the private sector, but it's also something the U.S. military is interested in, primarily looking for perhaps biologic attacks and so forth. And so that's why the VA has also jumped on board and is interested in looking at some of these tools. The goal ultimately is to put in place methods for looking through entire medical records at the VA and DOD to identify potential outbreaks that could come from biologic agents used in warfare. Shorter term, though, there's interest in looking for the sorts of things that are a little easier to find as we build up and evaluate and create the technology. And so the experiment I'm going to show you looks at some of that. Dr. Elkin did mention before that it's very common in traditional biosurveillance to look at things like chief complaints and ICD-9 or billing codes or E&M codes, and yet we've got the full text of clinical notes available to us to look through and try to find patterns. You saw a really interesting example looking at influenza where you take the full content of the clinical notes and find patterns in what was documented. So not just the presence of fever, you know, in a chief complaint, but the nuance of fever plus cough, maybe minus presence of an infiltrate on an x-ray suggesting flu. So for the study that we're going to go over today, we looked specifically for flu, tuberculosis, and hepatitis B from real VA clinical records. And I'll give you the specific statistics of what we looked at in a moment. To be included in this study, notes were pulled from another study that's being done looking at surgical quality using the same set of tools. So not only can we look for presence of influenza, but we can also track how good the care is for patients coming in for surgery, whether it follows the quality indicators that currently the VA is paying nurses to go through the charts manually. And that's the VA NISQIP program. We looked at all the notes from the Tennessee Valley Healthcare System, which is a VISN 9, from the 8-year period, September 99 through 2007. And these, we only looked at physician-generated notes for this particular study that were generated in an emergency department, an urgent care clinic, or a primary care clinic. And again, these are from patients who had an operation at some point. And then each throat was indexed by the tool set that Dr. Elkin showed you. And what we did was we looked at all these notes. We then randomly selected from those notes just 60 notes. So out of thousands and thousands of notes from an 8-year period, we looked at 60, and humans sat down and came up with, using the notes themselves and best practices, came up with specific disease profiles so that, you know, if we wanted to tag this note as possibly representing a patient with the flu, we had to know, you know, should we include abdominal pain? Probably not. Should we include a cough? Yes. And these are based on, like I said, the expert review and specific disease profiles. And this is not here easy to be seen, but it's available and I can show it to you later. It actually gives the specific disease profiles. So for tuberculosis, cough, fever, maybe shortness of breath, night sweats, weight loss, hemoptysis, which is coughing up blood, maybe swollen lymph nodes, and maybe fatigue. So if those were present in the chart, this might be a chart of a patient who has tuberculosis. And then once these disease profiles were created, we actually ran it against a test set. And the test set were another 444 randomly selected notes from this large corpus. And human reviewers sat down and looked at all these notes and judged whether or not each of these things was present. And then we compared that with what the machine judged as to whether or not these were present. And for each document, two different clinicians looked at them, and then there was a process afterwards for when the docs disagreed. And these we were calling, just if you do look at the, I'm pressing the wrong keyboard. If you do happen to read the abstract, the first one where the humans reviewed it was called the system training set, and where the system actually ran and compared against what humans decided, that's the test set. The other thing we looked at was not just was there an assertion about the presence of one of these symptoms, but whether it was asserted to be positive or negative, and we evaluated that as well. So this is what our review tool looked like. It's very similar to what you saw before. Here's the clinical note, just like what Dr. Elkin showed you, and here's pieces of it. You can focus in on pieces, and then here's what the reviewers use to actually judge the presence or absence of the different assertions. So out of this corpus of notes, there were 33,000 approximately patients represented, 444 documents tested. Out of that, there were 12,000 or so sentences identified. These are largely dictated or typed notes. From there are 28,000 phrases. So in a sentence, there might be multiple phrases that have clinical meaning, that have clinical concepts in them, that have symptoms discussed. And in those phrases, there are actually 90,000 distinct words or short phrases that had to be mapped to SNOMED. And then there were another 36,000 instances of terms that were not easily mapped that were retained as free text for review. And out of all of this, there were 3,000 distinct symptoms identified. So myocardial infarction and MI might show up as two different terms or phrases, but those represent the same concept. Now, as we go through the system, I'm going to show you some detailed results in a minute, but the overall sensitivity for these findings in this first experiment was 90%. So that meant 90% of the symptoms that were in these documents, the machine found. And we know that the symptoms were there because the human reviewers looked at them beforehand and said they were there. Of the ones that were found by the machine, they had a 90% positive predictive value of being correct. If you look just at concepts as opposed to the whole thing, concepts and free text, it was a little lower, it was a 78%, but the positive predictive value was a little higher at 91%. Looking just at keyword matching, it was 69%, so about the same, and positive predictive value of 92%. And then if you looked at, you know, was the assertion identification correct? Did it know if the doc had documented that the chest pain was present or absent? It got that right about 77% of the time. So here are all the results on a symptom-by-symptom basis. I'm not going to make you read this, and I'm not going to read it off to you, but again, it's available. This is looking at the sensitivities and the positive predictive values. So abdominal distension was 96%, abdominal pain was 89%, and so on in terms of their sensitivities. And then the assertions getting the negative or positive correct, abdominal distension was 67% correct, abdominal pain was 30% correct. And some of the reasons why these assertions may be lower is because the document may contain a big long string or be somewhat indistinct. So the patient denies a history of their belly hurting, might have trouble picking that up. But if it says denies abdominal pain or denies cough, nausea, abdominal pain, it's probably going to pick that up. So our conclusions are this method has a good sensitivity and a good positive predictive value for symptoms related to the specific syndromes we were looking for. The method performed moderately well at detecting negation and then detecting symptom complexes such as influenza that Dr. Elkin just showed you is an important next step. And so beefing up that next step, looking for these complexes across different diseases for surveillance is really where this work is headed. So a lot of people helped with this. Michael Matheny did the lion's share of the work. He couldn't come here today due to conflicts. And Dr. Elkin, Brown, Spiroff, Brett, who is kind enough to moderate today, and Elliot Feilstein and Bob Dittus also helped in this. And this work was supported by a VA HSR&D grant, but I personally have no disclosures to present. So, thank you, and I understand we'll take questions later.